Amen. So good to be here. I just love the fact that we're here tonight. I mean, really, isn't that great? I mean, think about it. The Bible calls this Mount Zion. You know why people go to the mountains? Because they hate the valley. You know why we're here this evening, brother? We hate the valley, don't we? I'm going to tell you, I got my head is full. I don't know if we're going to hit one subject, but if we hit one, we're going to get 10. How about that? And we're going to follow leadership of the Spirit. The day that I found out we couldn't get married in Nashville, I got some new glasses, so I can see that clock. Is that 8:10? So if you have your Bibles with you, just follow where the Lord's leading us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And I need the subject that the Lord put on my mind, and I'm serious. He put several, but I like coming to Georgia, so I'm not going to get crazy with it. But go over to Philippians 4, verse 4, and I just got to get some things out of my mind before I get to the main subject matter. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Yay. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Brother Danny, there's this pandemic going on. Jesus died for you. Yay. Brother Danny, this is going on. Jesus died for you. Yay. I got the coronavirus. You know what me and my wife did? We got in the Bible deeper and deeper. Because guess what I had for 2 weeks? Free time. I'm going to tell you what, the same God who delivered me from that, I wanted to learn more about Him, and we were able to rejoice in the Lord. I want you to understand, we have something to rejoice in. Go with me over to Psalm 107. This just jumped out at me. We don't do enough rejoicing, do we? Over in Acts chapter 15, there is a squabble going on about whether we should add works to the gospel of Christ, and they sent a council to go consult with some other brethren, and let's be honest. If there was a squabble going on, and we stopped at other churches and talked to other brethren on our way to where we're going to the council, and folks asked us some stuff, they're probably going to hear about the squabble the way we talk today, right? But that ain't what they talked about. You know what they talked about whenever they went to the other churches on their way to the council? They talked about the great works the Lord has done. Brothers and sisters, we can either be down and we can be looking at all the bad stuff that's happened around us, or we can just rejoice in the mercy and the love of Christ Jesus. You're going to heaven. John 3:16, I wish you would have went there. You know what that says? You believe in Christ Jesus, you're going to heaven. Does anybody here deserve to go to heaven? Does anybody here deserve to be on streets of gold? Does anybody here deserve to have the glory that you feel whenever Gary Hall preaches to you? You just feel the Spirit come down. Does anybody deserve to have that feeling throughout all eternity without being corrupted by sin? No, we don't, brothers and sisters. We're going to have that forever. Yeah. I'm going to give you pure satisfaction for the rest of your days. You got that. Right. You know what I say to that? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm going to tell you, I'm not being idealistic. Brother Danny's response should be when somebody says, "Hey brother, how you doing?" "I'm going to heaven. I deserve hell. I've committed so many sins, and it ain't even 10 a.m. yet. And most of them has to do with doubt and backbiting and envy and jealousy and just not trusting in the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, even though I deserve hell for that, I'm going to heaven." Go with me to Psalm 107. This just jumped out at me so much today whenever we were reading on the way down here. Look what it says here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Do we do more complaining or more thanking? I tell you, it's something I say to folks that typically all the time, and the reason I say to them is because I need to hear it. Next time we start to complain, we need to ask, have I prayed about that? I'm going to tell you, to me in my life, whenever I complain, what I'm saying, I'm not thankful. And look what it says here. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Do you believe God is good? Have we thanked God today? And then it says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are they supposed to say? They're supposed to say this, He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Brothers and sisters, we believe He's the goodest. I mean, seriously. They're supposed to believe He's kind of good. He kind of gave you salvation. But I want to tell you, we believe He's the goodest. He's the bestest. Whatever you want to throw out there, He's it. And if anybody in the world should be saying that God is good, we should. If anybody in the world should be saying that His mercy endures forever, by God, it should be us. Because we believe it. You know what mercy does? It keeps you from getting what you rightfully deserve. Guess what? We're going to heaven. We're not going to hell. We deserve hell. The only reason that is because His mercy endures forever. But I'm going to tell you, that eternal lake of fire is also forever. So for us not to be in there, His mercy has to endure for how long? Forever. I'm glad it ain't got no stopping point, don't you? But then look at this. I'm going to tell you, this really stuck in me, Brother Philip. It's like, brother,
yeah, whatever.
It's like, I need to get a bigger stage. I got smaller, so I'm moving around more. But as I was reading this, I was like, Bro Luke, I'm coming up short in my praise to God. I'm coming up short in my verbology to people how good God has been to me. I'm serious. If people have heard more complaints out of our mouth than praise, something's wrong. Look what it says here. This is used four different times in this chapter, and it just grabbed a hold of me. I even looked at Brother Rick while he was driving. I looked at my wife. And I said, I'm not trying to be funny. I just trying to be there. And I looked at my wife. I looked at Brother Rick as we were coming down here. I was like, I think the Lord's trying to make a point. Like, do you see a theme here? Look what it says here in the 8th verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. 15th verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. 21st verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, where'd it go? It ran. Okay, 31st verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. What do you think we should be doing? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. We're going to heaven. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. I got a wife. Praise God. Man, God has been so good to us. You know what, Brother Ron? Ain't nothing wrong with a Printer Baptist pep rally, is it? I mean, I've heard people say, oh, them association fellowship meeting, just Printer Baptist pep rally. I need a little pep in my life. Especially in a pandemic, right? We need something. We need to be encouraged. We need to be edified. I mean, what's pep? To be pepped up. What's edification? To be built up. Brothers and sisters, I need to be strengthened. I need to be built up. I need to be encouraged. And the Lord, and so do you. Now, this is really cool. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 3 real quick. And then we'll get to my subject. I ain't playing. But,
we believe you.
Verse 17. This is just so important to me. Because I don't think we get it. I don't think we get it. You know, whenever I lived out in the world, I felt a bunch of different feelings. But whenever I came into the Church of God, I felt a feeling I never felt before. I was 21 years of age, and sitting under the sound of the gospel, I felt a peace. And I felt a calmness. And I felt a rejoicing. And I felt a welling up inside of me that I had never felt before. And I didn't know what it was. And then I found out what it was. You know what it was? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. Not just Jesus and dwelling in me from the point of regeneration whenever I was born of the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, if you ever come to the church of God, if you ever come to the house of God, and you start singing, and you just feel just that tingle and that warmth and that peace and just that love and that comfort. And it comes in different measures. Sometimes it's just gentle, and sometimes it's just so much you got to put your book down and you're going to start just boo-hooing. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Do y'all know when the brother's reading your mail from behind the pulpit and you just get those tingles in the back of your skull and just down your spine? Do y'all ever get those? And I mean, those are the Holy Ghost. Those are real. Those are Holy Ghost goosebumps. You know that? That's Jesus has showed up on the scene. That's Jesus has honored His promise in His worship service. And I don't know. I think sometimes we experience it so much we take it for granted. What it is like, we start to measure it. We're like, you know, a month or two ago, my wife was visiting folks down in Tennessee, and she said, well, how did church go? I'm like, you know. I mean, if the Lord was there, it's not, that's awesome. But we get so used to it. And I shouldn't downplay it just because it wasn't a day of Pentecost this time, and I felt like it got close to it last time. The Lord still showed mercy, and He was there. But I want you to understand what that feeling is. Look what it says here in the 17th verse. And I want you to understand that you felt it, even though you don't realize that you felt it, you felt it. Now the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I mean, there's liberty, which is freedom. Have you ever came into the house of God and you just felt weighed down? You felt like an elephant's been standing on your shoulders and it just won't get off of you, and everything's just weighing on you. Maybe you had a fight with your wife or your husband on the way to church and you just feel so constricted and so confined, and then you start singing those beautiful songs of the Lord and of Zion, and you start to hear the preaching preach, and you know, you walk out of the church house and you and your wife ain't even mad at each other anymore. I tell you what, my wife got out of the truck Sunday morning. She is mad at me. And then when we got back in the church, she said, you know what, the Lord blesses you like that. I just can't be mad at you. I forgot what she's mad at me about. Freedom! Thank God I forgot, because I'm dumb enough to bring it up, you know? Freedom! Release! Liberty! But I want you to understand, whenever you experience true liberty, whenever you experience true freedom, the Lord is there.
Amen.
And we need to be like whenever John and Peter was on the boat over in John 21, and they seen the Lord on the bank there. And John said, it's the Lord. And Peter was like, okay, I ain't got time for this boat. I'm just jumping off in. I'm going to tell you, if you go to the house of the Lord and you feel liberty, you feel freedom, I want you to say Jesus was there, and you know how you get that feeling again? You go back, and you go back, and you go back. You know why? You know why we preachers travel all over the country to go to an association you might not even get to preach? Because we felt the freedom. We felt the liberty. It ain't enough, and it sure nothing to preach. Now, let me tell you, I'm my brother Rick Garvey. When the Lord blesses me to preach, I want to preach. But before I get up here, I have no idea if that's going to happen. And I'd just rather stay right there. But whenever the Lord blesses, there's a freedom. There's a freedom. And those brethren, they've experienced that because they're preachers and they've been invited to those things. And then they get a little taste of it and they just want to travel everywhere. I see it. But they just want to travel everywhere to get as much of it as they can. And then they'll bring a deacon brother or a new church member with them. And then guess what? Now you got other people traveling everywhere, right? I'm going to tell you, when a non-preacher is going to meetings everywhere, you know what he's tasted? The Lord is good. Hey, he's experienced liberty. And look what it says here. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face. What this is talking about here is it was comparing the law, the giving of the law, to the gospel being preached. And whenever Moses received the law from God, and what a wonderful, glorious thing that was, and the people, and Moses was the only one that was able to go talk to God, and whenever he came out and talked to the people, his face shined. And they said, well, no, you got to put something over your face. We can't see all that glory. And Moses would go talk to God, then he'd go talk to the people. And you need to understand that because it says, but we all. See, he's making the comparison that the law service, whenever it was given, it was just given to Moses in that regard. I mean, he gave it to the people, but it was just one-on-one, him and God. But here it says, but we all. You see, Moses ain't the only one that gets to see the glory of God in this regard. The minister ain't the only one that gets to see the glory of God. Because I want to tell you, if I'm preaching the gospel the way it should be preached, you should be able to see the glory of God. You should be able to see that God is righteous. You should be able to see that God is holy. And you should be able to see that for us to be in here, mercy has been extended upon mercy. I'm going to tell you, for us to come to the throne of God and to inquire at His footstool and us just not to be demolished by the wrath of God is mercy, mercy, mercy. It says, but we all, not just the preacher, not just Moses, but we all. So I trust what we're trying to do. Brothers and sisters, don't come in here and just waste the time away. Don't come in here and do your checkbook. Don't come up in here and stare at that right there and try to let time pass away. I'm going to tell you, come in here and attend yourself and focus yourself to try to see the glory of God and do it with your heart. Whenever we pray, let us not be like all those other people around that sister in Mark chapter 5, verse 25. They were just throwing upon Jesus and they weren't being healed. But that sister said within her heart, she said, if I just touch the hem of His garments. I want to tell you, she pressed through that press to get to the very hem of the Lord's garment. And I want to tell you, when we pray to God for the preacher, when we pray to God for ourselves, when we pray to God for our loved ones, when we pray to God for our problems, when we pray to God for illnesses and diseases and just things that just make us uncomfortable, sometimes we just got to press beyond ourselves. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times I spend more time getting into prayer than I do in prayer. Some of you know what I'm saying. I start praying, I ain't in the right mind. I just got to press and press and press. Finally, I'm able to touch the hem of His garment and say, Lord, have mercy upon us, a sinner. And it says, now, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when we come here, we need to pray that the Lord would bless us to behold His glory. And then it says this, are changed to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what that just said? As you hear the gospel preached about this beautiful, wonderful, glorious God, and you see the glory of the Lord, the same glory you're able to see upon the Lord, you're eventually going to be able to see upon you. Because you know why? Whenever somebody preaches about our beautiful, almighty, sovereign God, hopefully they preach about His people. And hopefully they preach about the love He had for that people. And hopefully they preach about Him dying for that people. And hopefully they preach about the attributes of that people. And evidences that we're able to see in ourselves to understand that we're that people. Brothers and sisters, the reason I love John 3:16, because it says if you have belief in Jesus, you have everlasting life. You need to ask every one of you, if you want some good news tonight, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe He's the Son of God? Do you believe that He was born of a virgin? Do you believe that He died and on the third day He came up out of that tomb? Do you believe that? Brothers and sisters, you're going to heaven. You have everlasting life. You possess it in your very being. You're a possessor of eternal life. It says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 5:1, you need that in your arsenal to combat error. 1 John 5:1, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not he's going to get born of God, he is born of God. Isn't that beautiful? Brothers and sisters, did you believe that Jesus Christ, you're born of God? You know where heaven-born people go? They go to heaven. You're born of God. And I'm going to tell you, if the Gospels preach right, we preach about a glorious God who in His infinite mercy, who in His loving mercy, who in His marvelous grace extended love to a people. And that people is going to heaven because of what He did for them. And one of the ways that we can recognize whether we're a child of God or not is if we, to ourselves, not that we're going around asking, I worded that wrong, but an evidence to us that we are children of God is if we see ourselves with belief, we understand that only born-again people can believe. You get that? I'm not walking around saying, okay, you don't believe you're going to hell. That ain't what I'm talking about. But I'm saying belief is an evidence of salvation. And brothers and sisters, whenever the gospel is preached to you, and the fact that you exhibit love, the fact that you want to help people, the fact that you want to sacrifice yourself to help other people, that is also an evidence of salvation. And whenever that gospel is preached to you about our glorious Lord, you are changed from the same image, from glory to glory. You know what that means? At first you were able to see that God is righteous. Now you're able to see that He has extended that righteousness to you. And we do it all together in hearing the gospel preached. Now I'm not going to go to my other subject. I'm just going to quote one verse. But I want you to see this. Look what it says here. But we all, with an open face, we're all here with an open face. We're not covering our faces like Moses was. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. What does that mean? I'm able to see that I'm a child of God. I'm able to see I'm going to inhabit glory one day. And look how it's done to you. Even by the Spirit of the Lord. Have you ever heard the gospel preached and it made you believe in Christ Jesus? Have you ever went away from a service believing that you were going to heaven? You know what that means? It says it was done even by the Spirit of the Lord. What does that mean? God showed up. Has anything that's been said tonight or that's been sung tonight made you believe that you're going to heaven? If it has, you know what that means? God is here. He's here, Brother Phil. Wow! Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. I love y'all. God bless.